Howdy, howdy. This is your host, Dougie Slap. This is a welcome to my point of view. Anyway, interesting that nothing but glitches, nothing but problems trying to get into the show, all that good stuff. And that's kind of par for the course. Anyway, this is welcome to my
point of view. Well done, you know what I choose. ዋጋ ሊኖራቸው የሚችለው በስራ ትርጉም እንዲገለጹ በማድረግ ተከብረውና ተጠብቀው ሲገኙ ብቻ ነው። ወይስ ይህንን ቃል ኪዳን እንዲያስከብሩና እንዲያስፈጽሙ የተፈረደባቸው ደካሞችና ትንንሾች መንግስታት ናቸው?
Frustration, oh yes.
Kind of good stuff. Anyway, tonight's show is called What of positive sources basically doing to offset every conspiracy theory. The interesting thing about Mount Shasta is that people believe all kinds of stuff. Supposedly, the negative is more powerful than the positive, so the negative holds sway and all that kind of good stuff. And we live within the context of a planet where people are more interested in things that are negative rather than positive. And it's understandable because one of the interesting elements within the context of life on this planet is that our human beingness comes with a negative bias to it, which makes it kind of curious. And all that good stuff. One of the things that I decided to do was meditate for half an hour before coming into the show. And I think if I'm going to do that from now on, I'll do the show a half an hour later, because I think next time I'll try to come into the show half an hour before it starts. In case there's any glitches, which there always seems to be glitches, which might be its own form of conspiracy. Energy conspires against us and all that kind of good stuff. One of the curious things about our experience is that we are up against the dynamic of pain, fear, anger, hatred, violence, depression, and suicide, which is almost like a protocol that negativity, energy that's polarized within the context of serving self, works diligently at keeping people steeped in pain and fear and anger and hatred and violence, depression, leading to suicide, which is usually a person gets all flipped out and they'll get a gun and they'll go and they'll start shooting people and killing people and then shoot themselves, or the person will get killed, blah, blah, blah. It's kind of boring, actually. Given that there's so much more available within the context of life as we are and what we can get involved with, the flip side of pain is joy. The flip side of fear is love. The flip side of anger is patience. The flip side of hatred is kindness. The flip side of violence is harmony. The flip side of depression is happiness. The flip side of suicide is ascension. So what we have available to us, is paying attention to those details that assist us in feeling something real, think something true, and sharing them in ways that are kind of conducive from the perspective of feeling happy, feeling wonderful, being compassionate and kind. And it's a curious thing, because within the context of our life and times, there is that works diligently at making sure that things are always in a state of chaos / disarray and so on. And so one of the opportunities that's available to us within the context or composition of our life is to pay attention to those details that give us our sense of humanity within the context of who we are. And it's not a real easy thing, because if you notice the news, or if you notice elements within the context of television, or we could even take it to the level of video games. One of the interesting things about video games that are played by, as a rule, young people, children, adolescents, young adults, and some adults, is there's an emphasis on violence as a resolution. The idea is that a person can resolve something by blowing things up or shooting people or this and that. And it's curious, because the natural dynamic for life humanly on this planet is stillness, peace, and harmony. Stillness is to the heart, but peace is to the body, what harmony is to the head. And the flip side of that is chaos is to the heart, but conflict is to the body, when violence is to the head. And so it's interesting how we humans choose to conduct our affairs on this planet in this day and age. So there is going to come a point in which the invader culture mindset and all that entails becomes extinct. And in all due likelihood, it will take everyone involved with any aspect or element of what composes the invader culture mindset. The flip side is that we can get into elements within the context of our life in which there is community or cooperation rather than hatred leading to the necessity for war, greed, and class distinction, which are the three basic protocols of the invader culture mindset, which is based upon hierarchy, elitism, superiority, chosenness, good versus evil, leading to conquering, enslaving, destroying, which in our case is basically war, greed, and class distinction. It is a curious process what we're involved with within the context of our life and times as far as people are concerned. Because on the one hand, we are each other. I am you and you are me, and this is why we meet. And the hope is within the composition or constitution of our life where we feel good about ourselves as who we are and what we're involved with. And oftentimes it's not real easy to accomplish because of when you have a group of people that are faced with the element of war and the culture that they're in, it becomes an interesting process, an interesting protocol. And that's curious because when we're looking at life, when we're looking at people and so on, it is interesting that within the composition or constitution of our life, there's so much that seems to be antithetical to who we are within the context of life as we know it and so on. And it becomes a curious thing because part of what we have the opportunity of facilitating is working together for the common good of everyone. It's kind of like the idea that the only thing that happens is extension and expansion. It's the only two things, extension and expansion. Which is interesting because if extension and expansion is put within the context of a human being, a man's penis, when it becomes erect, extends, and a woman, when she gets pregnant, her stomach expands. And so you have a little graphically shown that you have extension and expansion within the context of two people. In an esoteric context, you have God's will to be and know extends and expands by inversely reversing it to a focus, becoming conscious of that which gave rise to it. It is curious when we look at the human dynamic of what sources do, and there's approximately, according to the raw material, there are 500 members to the Confederation of Planets. And the interesting quality about that is that they all work within the context of not hierarchy and elitism, superiority, chosenness, good versus evil, but equality, balance, relationship, purpose, harmony, peace, serenity, and tranquility. The other thing that positive sources work on is assisting us in understanding the wisdom of love and light. So that from the perspective of understanding and wisdom, people can get along and people can get on with their life and times to where there isn't too much drama, conflict, silliness, foolishness. There isn't too much birth, crucifixion, death, reincarnation, that type of thing. one of the reasons why channeling has become something very prevalent over the last, say, 165 years, specifically since Madame Blavatsky, who channeled the New Dispensation, is there is a concern within the process that there aren't enough people conscious enough to facilitate a worthwhile ascension or harvesting of souls in a positive context. And so it becomes interesting when we are looking at the process of who we are and what we're involved with as far as what's going on and why. One of the conspiracy theories that I find is interesting is that there are chemtrails that are poisoning the air. It's like conspiracy theories are basically ideas that are presented that may or may not be true, and a person is given the opportunity of, does a person move into joy, love, light, conscious awareness? Does a person move into pain, fear, hatred, darkness? Those are always available to us in a given moment within the context or composition of our life. So it becomes interesting from my perspective, because the simple fact of the matter is the positive sources are just as diligent within the context of educating humanity or enlightening humanity in the context of what it is to be a human within the context of the positive according to the design. And we were created and brought to life. The name of the Creator is Yahweh. The name of that which brought us to life is Id. One of the curious things within the context of religion is there's also those individuals on the surface of this planet that worship the destroyer god and the destroyer god Shiva, the destroyer god, warlord god Jehovah. There's also the warlord god within the context of the Muslim faith. There's also the warlord god within the context of Judaism. These religions are practiced by approximately 5 billion people, and they all practice or worship a destroyer god, and the destroyer god is antithetical to the creator, human beingness, and that which brought us to life. One of the things that I have included within the context of my teaching is a return to this planet of that which created us and that which brought us to life. And there will come a point in time in which the Creator will interact with us, and that which brought us to life will interact with us. And it'll become a wonderful time, because the nice thing is that within the context or composition of our life, we will be engaged or involved with that which is positive, that assists us in our evolution. And our evolution simply is involved with knowing the self according to its design, according to that which created us and that which brought us to life, serving others as the positive path, and aspiring to collectively ascend. And ascension takes place on an individual level, and it takes place on a collective level. Collective ascension is always positive. And so one of the interesting elements within the context of social discipline or development is that rather than conspiracy theories making us go bonkers or affecting us in an adverse way, there's also the diligence of positive sources, and there are at least 500 involved with this planet. And it's very, very possible that the number of negative sources to positive sources is 10 to 1. So if there are 500 positive sources, it's very, very possible that there's 5,000 negative sources involved with this planet. According to the raw material, there were so many negative sources involved with this planet that this planet was put under quarantine, which means that it was off limits to positive and negative sources. It's one of the reasons why there really hasn't been any interaction within the context of other alien sources, shall we say, entities from other places, because the planet's off limit. According to Mary Summerrain, when the quarantine is lifted, there's going to be a mass UFO sighting. According to Mary Summerrain in her books, Phoenix Rising, that there's going to come a point in time in which people look up at the heavens and all they're going to see is UFOs. Now, I offer the argument that the soul gets here by a UFO and the soul goes home by a UFO. So one of the things that I was told in 1990 by a UFO, it was huge. It was 300 feet long, 200 feet wide, 150 feet high, and I was 3 to 5 miles away from it. So it was realistically, it was probably a mile, three quarters of a mile, and half a mile in size. This was one sentence. We are here for you, just not at this time. It took me until May. It took me until December of 2012 to realize that the message was as much for me, if maybe only for me, because there was two other people in the car. So one of the things that I do, and this is one of the suggestions that I make to everyone, is simply ask to meet and make contact with that UFO that is here for you. Ask to be taken aboard, taken to a safe place or someplace at the appropriate time. It takes all of 5 to 10 seconds to do, and it covers the base. Because I'm convinced that the Close Encounters of the Third Kind was a message to humanity, is nowhere to go when the UFOs show up so that the soul can go home. When we are looking at conspiracy theories are designed to move us into pain, fear, and anger, hatred, violence, depression specifically, because it is a food to those who are negative. It is a kind of food, which is a curious thing, because within the composition or constitution of our life, it is just as easy to feel joy as it is to feel pain. It's just as easy to feel love. It is just as easy to see light as it is their opposite. According to Neil Donald Walsh in Conversations with God, in the absence of that which is not, that which is not, which is a curious thing. Because it's not so much curious as that explains why there are opposites. The technique that's used within the context of a life as we know it is that there has to be a contrast to a given state so that given state can know that it exists as it does, because if you don't have an opposite to it, there is no way that a given state can know what it is, as it is, where it is, while it is. And that's curious when you stop and think about it. It's curious in the sense, that we believe all kinds of stuff. And the interesting thing is that this is a little tidbit, this is kind of an aside, and that is love felt as emotion, light observed as color, gives the perception of time and space because it means there is depth, density, context to love and light. So it becomes interesting. One of the things that I am convinced should happen with everything that is printed, that we read, everything that we watch, everything that we listen to, there should be one disclaimer at the end of everything presented to us in any context or capacity, and that is, even this is propaganda to see what you will believe. Even this is propaganda to see what you will believe. Because we believe all kinds of stuff that's more nonsense than it is anything else. And it's pretty curious, because some of the stuff that we believe it is so much an entrenchment, like religion. You know, the curious thing about printed bodies of knowledge is they are updated 5 seconds after they are written down. And that goes for every body of knowledge. Every single sentence that lives in print longer than 5 seconds is outdated, because the next moment there's a new truth, a new realness. The simple fact of the matter is this planet has never been in the same space twice, because of the movement of the galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, because of the orbiting of because of the movements that take place. The Earth is never in the same place at the same time ever. And that's an interesting thing, because it means that the realness that's true is always going to be something else moment to 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 moment, Reality refuses to remain the same. It's the reason why there is the process of change. And the curious thing about that is that we basically, within the composition or constitution of our life, refuse to change. And it becomes a curious thing. And the reason why it becomes a curious thing is that one of the things that we have the opportunity to do is we can either go through the process of birth, crucifixion, death, and reincarnation, or we can live according to oneness that heals wholeness into ascension. In one context, there's only the oneness of God, the healing of life, the wholeness of the Christ, and the ascension of that which serves. There's only a couple of bodies of knowledge, the raw being one of them that talks about service polarization, and there's two kinds. There's negative service polarity, which just seeks to control and manipulate, and then there is positive service polarity, which works at consciously manifesting with a conscious mind, creating and manifesting within the composition or constitution of the life. Now, Robert Monroe, in his book Far Journeys, mentioned that he went to the year 3,000 years away. It was probably more like 1,025 years away, because he probably did it in around 1975. But he went into the year 3000 and he noticed that people were able to manifest, in this case, the being that he was in contact with, the human being that he was in contact with, could manifest in the palm of its hand. And what was manifested was corn, which the person offered to Robert Monroe. And that's something that people can do now. Conscious awareness, consciously manifesting instantly, is the ability. Jesus did it, and Jesus was very clear on saying, if you believe these things as I have done, you shall do as I have done, even greater, for I go unto the Father. And what Jesus was basically telling us is we all have the ability to perform all of the miracles that he did. In one sense, all we are doing is we are working at what Zoroaster taught, which is God consciousness, what Buddha demonstrated, which was enlightenment, what Jesus demonstrated, which was miracle-mindedness, and within the context of the New Age, universal conscious awareness according to the soul. In one sense, that's why there are conspiracy theories. Conspiracy theories are specifically designed to keep people steeped in fear and pain. That's why they exist. I know a lot of people think that if they know or believe in a conspiracy theory, they think that it makes them power because they are knowledgeable about something. Well, here's a little tidbit. It's very, very possible that every single conspiracy theory is just that. It's simply mumbo jumbo, mamby pamby, whamby, mimbimby, majibuja, or something like that. And yet we choose to believe it as if it's something real. And here's the curious thing. Reality is self-defined. So when we're looking at a given conspiracy theory, here's the thing that I find is interesting. I'm walking down the street in Mount Shasta, and I look up at the sky, and all of a sudden I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 planes, and there's this long trail of stuff behind it. It could be that it's just heated exhaust that condenses because it's sub-zero temperatures where they're flying, because they're flying approximately 5 miles above the surface of the planet, which means that you have hot exhaust interacting and so on. One of the things that I notice is that it does not change at all how I feel, sense, think, and envision about myself in the moment. I do not go outside and feel badly about myself. There is a test that an individual can use is, where is the existence of right here, right now, where I am? Where is the existence of who I am, what I am, where I am in the moment? The interesting thing is that I don't read newspapers and I don't watch television. I haven't watched television in almost 40 years. I just don't like it. I don't like commercials, for one, and I simply don't like information being presented to me that doesn't have anything about personal, relational, social, global, universal development, discipline, and so on. And to me, that's what it's all about, is that I work on being happy and feeling wonderful as my life. And so when something presents itself to me, I said, one is, can I be loving? Can I be the love that understands and accepts? Can I be the life that is even-minded and wise about, so that within the context of my life, when I hear something from the perspective of someone else, there is only love and wisdom as the art of appropriateness, so that within the context of my life, that hopefully I can make a contribution to others in a wholesome manner. Because stop and think about it. What's the point of our existence? What's the point of our experience? And the simple fact of the matter is that it can be anything at all. And it's like, what's the point? One of the curious things about our life within the context of who we are is that we believe all kinds of stuff. The three main protocols of conspiracy theories boils down to war, greed, and class distinction. That's the protocol of anyone who has polarized in the negative. It's called negative service polarization. The percentage, according to Raw, of a negatively polarized individual is 95% the self, 5% others. Within the context of serving others, it's 51% others, 49% the self, which I like that, because I always get a kick out of it when people martyr themselves by pretty much denying themselves almost completely, thinking that that's the appropriate way to exist. And the simple fact is that that's not necessarily the case. So it becomes, to me, a curiosity, because where does the information, how does an individual become privy to information that is then disseminated as a conspiracy theory? How does the individual get the information? Because the simple fact of the matter is that if it is information that is being disseminated by someone, it is information that is intended to be shared, because the simple fact of the matter is that a true conspiracy theory will not be revealed, and there is no way a person can know what's going on and why. Which is to me a curious thing. I personally made a decision over 20 years ago to stop using negativity to draw attention to myself. So I'm primarily focused on things that are positive, people, places, and things, and so on. I'm not interested in negativity and what it involves and engages in, because the visions that I'm given about the invader culture mindset is that it is going to become extinct. It is going to become extinct as a process or protocol within the context of this planet. So it becomes a curious thing. One of the things that's interesting about the process is that we get to choose. One of the things that's interesting is there are veils that are in place. There's the veil of forgetfulness involving the soul. There's the veil of confusion involving life. And there's the veil of access involving God. And these veils have to be removed if an individual wants to become conscious in an effective way. One of the things that I find very useful within the context of my own life is I find that meditation, written and read material, vision boards are very useful within the context of a person's life and time as a person is on the surface of this planet. And they're very, very easy. Meditation is simply going within. In my case, I have 17 books written. I have 8 books in print. And then there's a whole bunch of books that I've read, like The Raw Material, Edgar Cayce, Ramtha, Seth, the Urantia book, Powashipi, Mary Summerane. The list goes on and on. Wayne Dyer, Deepak Chopra, and Neil Donald Walsh, Conversations with God, and so on. A Course in Miracles. Information is useful up to a point. And one of the things that a person can develop within the context of their life is who they are, is intuition, psychic ability, and channeling. Another arena that a person can work on is manifesting with a conscious mind. Another is channeling something that's universal. Another is opening up the mind like a door, according to the Raw, so that one could truly be miracle minded. And it goes on and on and on. I said, look at our life, look at what we're doing, look at what we're involved with. And nothing is inappropriate given one's model of the world. That comes from conversations with God. I like the idea of nothing is inappropriate given one's measure of the world. It's basically the same thing. And we have a difficult time with that. What's the point of a given thing within the context of the process? One of the curiosities about living humanly is we give the only meaning, value, function, purpose a given thing has within the context of our life. The other thing that's interesting is the only thing that you have is positive, negative, arbitrariness within the context of human beingness. That's it. You have the positive, you have the negative, you have arbitrariness, and then you have what people choose to feel, sense, think, and envision. And those four things are what we're doing 24/7 for our entire existence as a human being on the planet. We feel it, we sense it. We feel it according to the mind, we sense it according to the body, we think it according to the spirit, and we envision it within the context of the soul. And the reason why the soul envisions is because it's universal. The soul is so vast that it has to envision because it's left to the ego to be very, very specific. In one context, the mind is the specificness of God. The body is the specificness of life. The spirit is the specificness of what brought us to life. And the soul is a specificness within the composition or constitution of the universe. And so it can be thought of as the body is to life what the soul is to the universe, what the spirit is to that which brought us to life, what the mind is to God. I offer the argument that the only reason why the death experience takes place is death is proof that individuality in and of itself doesn't exist, and death is proof that an individual didn't have a viable spiritual practice that was unique to the individual. Death is also the disparity between that which is real and true and that which ceases to exist. Death is necessary from the ego body perspective so that an individual can get on with the task of becoming consciously aware. When we look at conspiracy theories, what's the intention behind the conspiracy theory? What does it do for us? Here's the interesting thing about information as far as it's shared. I said, Francis Bacon asked a very important question. Does a tree that falls in the forest make a sound if no one or nothing is there to hear it? The actual question is, does a given thing exist lacking experience? And the answer is no. If an individual doesn't have the experience of something, it doesn't exist. It's only from the perspective of experience, according to expression, that a given thing has a degree of relevance, realness, truth to it. So within the context of conspiracy theories, yes, it's very, very easy for an individual to buy into that and accept it as the way that it is. The curiosity is that there are 500 members to the Confederation of Planets, according to the RA, and they disseminate information that are that's positive, that can assist the individual and not be affected adversely by negative people, places, and things. Little tidbit. If I am in a state of joy, love, and light, and I am holding to that, I cannot be affected by anything other than that. It's kind of like the idea that if I shift my perspective from planetary life to that of the sun, what do you think my perspective is going to be? It's going to be the sun 24/7. There isn't half day, half night from the perspective of the sun. The only reason why you have half and half is because from the perspective of the planet, you have a backside, you have a front side, you have a top side, you have a bottom side, then you have that which is inherent. You have front, back, side to side, that kind of stuff. And it becomes an interesting process. It's the same thing with the moon. There are four phases to the moon. There's the new moon, there's the full moon, there's the quarter phases of the moon. I offer the argument that the brain is like the quarter phases of the moon as it pertains to male and female. And then the new moon represents negative surface polarization, and the full moon represents positive surface polarization, because that's what a person is doing spiritually. Spirituality is the discipline that allows an individual to polarize in a given way. Spirituality is the discipline that allows an individual to polarize either according to the negative service to self path or the positive service to others path. And I'm going to repeat that. Spirituality is that which allows the individual or assists the individual in service polarization specifically. Spirituality can also be thought of as the life of. So when we are looking at conspiracies, what is the end result of a conspiracy theory? Well, in its big protocol, it's war greeted class distinction. And another, it's the ability to affect someone adversely so that the individual flips out, starts shooting and blowing things up, and then ultimately the individual that got flipped out ends up, their life ends as well. His or her life ends, to use proper English. And I'm a proper kind of guy. Maybe that's the reason why I can't get a date, is because I'm too proper, I'm too nice, and I'm too human. But anyway, that's another subject matter that maybe I'll talk about in about 50 to 1,000, maybe a million years from now. Anyway, when we're looking at the process when it comes to conspiracy theories, it's a curiosity because they are so prevalent and people are absolutely convinced that that's what's going on, and nobody ever talks about what positive sources are doing, so that that's the protocol that people are living by. And when you stop and think about it, how do we conduct our affairs on the surface of this planet? How do we conduct our affairs on the surface of this planet when it comes to the life that we're living, the life that we're choosing to exist as humanly? That's the question. And so it becomes a curiosity, because within the context of our life, we can live. In the context of our life, everyone on the planet is at one point arbitrary, at some point positive, at some point negative, because it comes with the territory of who we are. One of the things that I find useful is I, just in the last couple of weeks, laminated a whole bunch of pages, and I have 7 of them, and there's approximately 200 I gratefully appreciate, and then there's the stipulation, I gratefully appreciate the oneness, the healed wholeness into ascension. I gratefully appreciate my life as happiness and feeling wonderful. I gratefully appreciate my life as the will of light and consciousness of God, creator, father, universe, as mind, body, spirit, soul. And I recite these now every day. It takes me approximately 45 minutes from start to finish to do all 7 pages. But I do a 2-hour meditation. I now get up between 1 and I get up between 1 and 2 in the morning, and I do a 2-hour meditation, and then I go back to sleep before I start to work. One of the questions that can be asked is, does a conspiracy theory assist an individual in feeling happy and feeling holy and feeling human, feeling connected, feeling grounded, and so on? And the simple rule is more than likely, no, it does not. I said, it might be that chemtrails are trying to poison us. I mean, after all, we're polluting the water, we're polluting the air, we're polluting the ground. So it stands to reason that there are things that that supposedly are things that are trying to hinder us. Well, I don't believe that I don't believe in conspiracy theories for the most part, because the simple fact of the matter is that nothing is stopping me from the meditation, written and read material that I read and have read, and my vision boards that are simply images of experiences that I would like to have take place within the context of my life. And I have lots of images that I like to look at as different symbologies. I also have a mirror that has God is, with a picture of the sun above it. I am, which is a cover of my book and a photo of me. All that is, and it's a picture of the universe, and it's on the face of a mirror, and the mirror is approximately 2.5 feet tall and approximately 2 feet wide. And when I'm sitting in meditation in a double pyramid in the room that I sleep in, I get to look at that, but I have my eyes closed, and every once in a while I will look at that and I will recite it and so on. That's what I pay attention to. That's what I work on. That's what I work towards. That's what I want my life to be a representation of. So I could care less, so to speak, that there are supposedly negative things done in a hostile manner within the context of humanity. That's not what I'm about. That's not what I'm interested in. So what I focus on is truth, beauty, goodness, stillness, peace, harmony, meditation, written and read material, vision boards, the self-sustaining, self-regenerative, self-perpetuating, instantaneous, spontaneous, simultaneous. Because stop and think about this. Conspiracy theories are specifically designed to keep people steeped in denial of the self, fear, guilt, arrogance, denial, lack, need, want, wound, ignorance, indifference, intolerance. Conspiracy theories are designed to keep us steeped in a sense of feeling that everything and everyone is a threat to our sense of livelihood. Conspiracy theories are antithetical to human beingness according to its design and how it was created and how it has the opportunity of living humanly. Positive sources will simply do the flip side to assist humanity in knowing the self according to the design, assisting people in polarizing in the positive, and assisting humanity in collectively ascension, because collective ascension is the positive culminating experience, because there comes a point in the creation in which the only thing that exists are collectives that have ascended. The fourth octave of sixth density through all of seventh density are only collectives that have ascended. And I know this because it's a vision that I was given approximately 20 years ago. And it ranks as one of the most interesting visions. I'm seeing it now. And it's difficult to put into words because I don't know how to describe the organisms that I am seeing, because they are not galaxies, they are not planets, they are not moons, they are not suns. They are collectives that have ascended. And they have a state of existence, and I don't know how to define them. I don't know how to describe them because I don't really know what it is that I'm looking at, yet I know what they are. And it's kind of interesting, kind of daunting, and that kind of thing. And it's very, very possible that it's not meant for me to know what they are at this time. And yet I have a certain degree of understanding. The interesting thing about me and my life and my path as purpose is that the only bodies of knowledge that I became interested in as books that I read were books by collectives that have ascended, like the Ra, Seth, and so on. Because I found that there was a certain degree of mass and magnitude to them that was greater than anything that an individualized source could present or represent. Which brings up an interesting point, because one of the things that positive sources do is they assist people in increasing the mass of love and the magnitude of light within the context of ascension. That process is doubled. The one is doubled by two. Two is doubled by three. That's what happens within the context of collective ascension. Seth, as communicated or channeled to Jane Roberts, is a collective of 1,012 souls that ascended. The Ra, as channeled through Carla Ruger, who passed last year, they are a collective that ascended of 6 million souls, which is pretty interesting. But one of the interesting things about collective ascension is there's very, very little in print about what collective ascension is. So when we're looking at information, it's very, very curious about what the information is supposedly informing us about. So it becomes a curiosity within the context of the process as far as who and what we are, why we're here, and where we're going, and so on. One of the things that an individual can do is simply make the decision that they want to feel positive. When an individual does that, then negative information serves very little purpose from the perspective of positive service polarity. Because from the positive, the only thing that's happening is the positive, and from the perspective of an individual's life, the only thing that is done is positive service, which means that something that is going to be done is going to be something positive. What a person feels, senses, thinks, and envisions is something positive rather than something negative. And I've been working diligently within the context of my life. I've been on my own personal path for 54 years. I actually started active participation with my path when I was 10, which was 49 years ago. And it's a work in progress because I'm not done. Because of one understanding, there's always something else. One of the things that's a curiosity to me is when people seek for a state that's considered it, like bliss, nirvana, perfection that never changes, and so on. Even God as a state is not something that's an absolute unto itself, because there's an infinitude of representation as the composition or constitution of the universe, so there's always something else. So every single experience that I've had, I'm always interested in something more, so to speak. In other words, I'm interested in comprehensiveness. And it becomes an interesting thing, because one of the things that's lacking from the perspective of the atypical human being on this planet is comprehensiveness of truth, comprehensiveness of reality, comprehensiveness of being, knowing, sharing, and ascending. One of the things that an individual can do is work on understanding the mind, the body, the spirit, the soul, as they are, as the will of light and consciousness of God, Yahweh, and universe that are infinite, eternal, complete, total, as is. One meditation that I do is there's only oneness, perfection, completeness, content that contributes comprehensiveness, unity, union, connected integration, reintegration, and this is the nature of the self according to who I am, what I am. So it becomes an interesting thing when information is disseminated on the surface of this planet from negative sources trying to convince us that life is other than that. And that's one of the things is that we believe wholeheartedly in the idea of good versus evil. But that's not what's going on. The only thing that you have is hatred versus hatred. And there's no such thing as good hatred and evil hatred. There's only hatred that hates itself by projecting itself into an object of objectification of another group of people that's almost always the same racial strain. Jews and Arabs are all Semites. So it becomes interesting that within the composition that there is this idea of anti-Semitism from the perspective of the Jews. And yet the Jews hate the Arabs, and that's anti-Semitic because of the racial strain of Jews and Arabs. And why is it that Jews and Arabs are in conflict with each other? Is because they both worship the same warlord God as the basis of the religious practice that they have. And so within the context of Judaism and Islam, you have this perpetual conflict because from the perspective of both, they are worshiping the same warlord without realizing it. The Christians do the same thing with the warlord God Jehovah. The Hindus do the same thing with Shiva, the destroyer. And what is destroyed is the ability for people to understand and know what human beingness is according to its design. The love of Yahweh and the light of Id making me who I am. The interesting thing is that Yahweh is a collective of 13 beings. It is a collective of 20 beings. It's the reason why in the composition or constitution of the mind calendar, you have the 13 symbols and the 20 symbols giving rise to a community of 33 symbols, because that is the number of beings that compose Yahweh the Creator and Id that was brought us to life. And that's the name of the Creator is Yahweh. The name of that which brought us to life is Id. The only place on the surface of the planet where Id is a reference or a state or a statement is Id. According to Freud, the Id, the ego, and the superego. So the context isn't even there for what we are as a human being. The fundamental nature of the self, according to what it is infinite, eternal, complete, total, as mind, body, spirit, soul. The mind is infinite, the body is eternal, the spirit is complete, the soul is total. And these are unified. We are the unified field, humanly, as it corresponds to God, universe, divinity, deity, Yahweh, Id, mom and dad. These make us who we are. And we are the unified field, and it's not just a theory, it's a state of being that knows, shares, and ascends. Path does everything in its power to see to it that people do not understand what human beingness is, because according to the warlord God Jehovah, human beingness is an abomination, and it is a jealous God And here's the simple tidbit. It even says in the Old Testament that I am a jealous God visiting the iniquity of those who hate me on the third and fourth generations. Well, that doesn't even make sense. How can you possibly tell me that a loving God is going to be jealous of anything, particularly God that created the universe, manifested the universe, brought the universe into existence? Really? You're going to tell me that God that brought into existence infinity is going to be jealous of an aspect of what it has as a representation of itself? You're going to tell me that God is jealous of an aspect of itself within the creation? It is a representation of who and what it is? It's an important thing for people to understand within the composition of the life that we're living, within the constitution of what we are, that the relevance of what we are has the ability to do wonderful things. Life on this planet could be very, very, very straightforward. It could be very, very simple, very, very humble, very transparent, very authentic, and people could literally use the mind to create and manifest instantly anything. And the question is, why is it that we choose not to live our life that way? I mean, why? The other question is, when if not now? One of the things that I find about conspiracy theories is that where is the existence of something where I am? And if it's in another place on the planet, what's the relevance of something somewhere else that's going on? Why do I need to know what's going on beyond the immediate environment? How does a given thing, particularly when it has to do with death, disaster, and destruction, because that's the only thing that a conspiracy theory focuses on, is death, disaster, and destruction. Death, disaster, and destruction. Death, disaster, and destruction. Well, it's not about death. It's not about death. It's not about disaster. It's not about sin, sickness, disease, death. It's not about any of those things. It's about whether or not we can live in a wholesome manner. It's about, can we be kind and considerate? Can we have a good time? Can we enjoy ourselves? Can we enjoy that glass of wine with good food, good friends, good music? To me, that's the ultimate experience. It's four things. It's good people, good food, good wine, good music. Nothing beats that experience. And I live here in Mount Shasta, and guess what? I get together with those four elements 3, 4, 5, 6 times a week. Good food, good wine, good people, good music, because I'm a musician. One of the things that we have the opportunity of doing is can we get to a point in our lives to where there's a consistency with how we feel, sense, think, and envision about who we are within the context of what we're involved with? Or is it like Henry David Thoreau, where people are living, quote, a quiet life of desperation? Comes an interesting process, because there are lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of conspiracy theories going on, and we can buy into them or not. And I personally am not interested in information that is negatively inclined. And the reason for that is because I'm only interested in living a polarized life as the positive that assists people in being positive as well. And it's not easy given our life and times. One of the things that I'm struck by is how marginal we have chosen our existence to be. I was told way back in 1987 by a friend of mine that there would come a point in time, but she gave me the year date of 60 years of age where my life would be ambrosia. And it wasn't until I asked another friend, Kathy Bradshaw, who is one of the parents, and my understanding is that she is home today. I've tried to call a couple of times and they haven't answered the phone because I guess maybe they're scared of my voice or something. Just kidding. I'm even scared of the sound of my voice, because a lot of times I don't know what I'm going to say until it comes out of my mouth. And I listened to it and I said, oh, really? That's the truth? Whoa. Whoa, Nelly. So it becomes an interesting thing. Well, what she said, because I asked her, I said, what did she mean by ambrosia? And Kathy says, that's the nectar of the gods. So one of the things that I do now every day is I said, I gratefully appreciate my life as of 4 through 2 within ambrosia, the nectar of the gods. I gratefully appreciate my life as ambrosia, the nectar of the gods. And I say that, I say it 3 times. And then after I'm finished with all 7 pages, then I tone 3 times. Om, om, om. One of the nice things is that there's going to come a point in time within the composition or constitution of this planet in which the invader culture mindset and all that entails and everyone involved with the invader culture mindset is going to become extinct, and we're going to get back to living our design as a human being on this planet from the connected integration of community in which there is only equality, balance, relationship, purpose, harmony, peace, serenity, tranquility. One of the things that I have found interesting is stillness is to the heart, what peace is to the body, what harmony is to the head. So here's what I say about conspiracy theories. If a conspiracy theory doesn't assist me in stillness, peace, and harmony as my heart, my body, and my head, I'm not interested in what it has to say. Because the simple fact of the matter is that if it's not in my house, if it's not at my job, if it's not in my town, it's irrelevant from the perspective of my life. Because I'm only interested in what is my immediate environment. I call it mindful purposefulness within the context of embodied spirituality, conscious awareness as path, as purpose. And in one sense, the only thing that we're doing is disciplining ourselves within the context of mindful purposefulness, embodied spirituality, and conscious awareness as path, as purpose, and what that entails. And then there's the whole process of what assists us in being, knowing, sharing, and ascending. So, one of the curious things is that one of the things that I mentioned earlier in the show was the idea of even this is propaganda, because if an idea doesn't facilitate or assist an individual in conscious awareness, if it doesn't assist an individual in polarizing in the positive, if it doesn't assist an individual as manifesting instantly with the conscious mind, if it doesn't facilitate an individual being joyful, loving, compassionate, kind, happy, or feeling wonderful, and so on, it is a waste of time. Because it's almost like taking a side street in which there's all kinds of hostility and struggle and drama and foolishness, maybe even the ending of a life, and how long does it take an individual to get from point A to point B, point A being God, point B is the context of reintegrating into God. Because in one sense, there's the heartbeat, there's breathing, there's waking and sleeping, there's incarnation and ascension, and that's the primary thing. There's only incarnation. God incarnate, God ascends. We, as human beings, are simply that aspect of God, remembering God, making a contribution to things that are God, which is everything is the image and likeness of God. Every life form on this planet, every insect, every bird, every fish, every mammal, every plant is the image and likeness of God. And the dynamic comes down to, is there pain and fear, or is there joy and love regarding these things? And yes, it is a daunting thing when you live in an environment where something can consume you as a meal. It's interesting to me that if I don't pay attention, an alligator can enjoy my flesh and bones for lunch. Same thing with the polar bear, same thing with the lion, same thing with the tiger, same thing with the cheetah, same thing with the puma, a jaguar, a cougar. Ooh, it's a scary thing. Ooh, great white shark might chop off my leg in a moment if I'm swimming in the ocean. Oh, my God. Conspiracy theories are specifically designed to keep us steeped in fear. And fear is a very curious thing because fear perceives everything as a threat to itself. Love perceives everything as an enhancement to its existence. Fear perceives everything as a threat to its existence. Love perceives everything as an enhancement to its existence. Because love unified with love is doubled person to person to person to person, and it's a very cool thing. When you stop to think that the only thing that love is doing is increasing its mass, the only thing that light is doing is increasing its magnitude, this is done person by person by person by person. So it becomes an interesting thing. One of the things that happens within the context of a conspiracy theory is it's designed to keep us animated, inflamed, enraged, if you will. This is going on, and so we flip out. And that's ultimately what conspiracy theories are designed to do. They're designed to keep us controlled and manipulated within the context of an idea so that the real agenda can take place. And the real agenda is how we are controlled and manipulated by self-serving sources. That's the real stuff, not the circumstantial conditions of enragement that flips us out on a mass level so that there's riots, so that there's mass hostility and that type of thing. Reminds me of Salman Rushdie and his book, The Satanic Verses, and how the entire Muslim community got frothing at the mouth. Well, that's what a conspiracy theory is designed to do. It's designed to get people in an uproar because of the energy that is felt within the composition or constitution of the life of the organism. So the question is, can an individual move into joy, love, happiness, feeling wonderful, regardless of what's going on in the immediate environment? And it's not easy to do. One of the things that is the test that we all have the opportunity to evolving beyond is can we get to the point to where nothing bothers us? Literally nothing. Not a person, not a place, not a thing. That doesn't mean being indifferent to it. It simply means recognizing what's going on and why, and simply being accepting and understanding, even-minded and wise about it, because from the perspective of an individual that's living at a level of consciousness where negative social protocols do not exist, it means that from the perspective of that higher consciousness, it becomes a non-existence. And how can you interact with that that does not exist from the perspective of who you are as the greater reality, the greater truth? Because then what you have to do is you have to lower yourself to that level. It's just like you increase your vibratory rate so that lower levels of consciousness no longer exist. That's what ascension is. It means to rise above lower levels of consciousness, to take with the body as love, to integrate into the universe as an infinite state of existence. That's the work. Ascension. It is a curious thing because one of the things that happens within the composition of life as we know it, as the humanity that we are, is that we pay attention to all kinds of details without realizing that love as emotion, light as color, is time and space, which means there's density to it. In our case, three dimensions to it. And it soon becomes four dimensions, and then five dimensions, and then six dimensions, and then seven dimensions, and then it goes from there. The only thing that's happening is this simple idea, from God, through God, to God, as God. From God, through God, to God, as God. From God, through God, to God, as God. It's a very simple and straightforward process. God becomes not God, that becomes God conscious, that makes a contribution that reintegrates back into the original state condition of God upon the organism that is a collective state of existence. The Christ means the connected integration of humanity as a whole. Humanity as a whole is the Christ consciousness. And whether people choose to acknowledge that and personify it and share it is left up to the individual. I always find it interesting how people tie themselves to the systems theory that is an externalization that in and of itself doesn't exist. We exist because we're the representation of. However, one of the responsibilities that we have is understanding what's involved in the process, owning a life that's based upon that. And if we're unwilling to do that, the only thing that we can do is subscribe to external ideas based upon someone else's realness and truth. That in one context has nothing to do with us at all. And then, on the flip side, has everything to do with us, because we are only here to assist each other in raising our vibratory rate beyond false doctrine. Specifically, here's a little tidbit for you folks. Science, religion, education, business, politics, law, and medicine are false doctrine because they are the institutions or traditions of the invader culture mindset. And how many people subscribe to science? How many people subscribe to religion? How many people subscribe to education? How many people subscribe to business? How many people subscribe to politics? How many people subscribe to law? How many people subscribe to medicine? Well, if I flip side the invader culture mindset to the indigenous way of life, there was no science, there was no religion, there was no business, there was no education, there was no politics, there was no law, there was no medicine. They were unnecessary because within the context of the design, they did not need to live that way. And then there's the arbitrariness of everyone else who observes both cultures going on this planet. We observe the invader culture mindset at work. We observe the indigenous way of life, not realizing that from our arbitrariness, we are neither, which means that we are not negatively polarized or positively polarized. And it's very, very possible that if an individual wants to polarize in the context of the positive, an individual has to live in an indigenous way. There's that possibility. Interesting within the context of the process, it becomes interesting within the context of the process how we choose to define ourselves according to who we are, and it can be anything at all. The simple fact of the matter is that infinity allows anything and everything to take place. And you know what's really cool? The really cool thing is that there is an infinite number of ways to a given thing. There's an infinite number of variables from a given thing. A person could literally spend his or her entire life designing an infinite number of forks, because there will always come a point in time in which an individual can hold to the idea of who they are as it corresponds to a given idea. There are 7 billion people on the planet, and no two people are the same. So it means that the spirituality that we practice is going to differ from person to person to person, and yet it's the same spirit. It can be thought of this way. The spirit that brings to life as the life of is the same spirit that every single species on the planet, to the tune of 10 million species on this planet, all live according to the same spirit, regardless of whether they're in the ground, in the water, on the land, up in the air, and yet no two things within a given species like ant and no two species crossing from species to species is the same. No two species of birds is the same. No two species of ant. And there have been 12,000 different species of ant identified on this planet. And it's pretty interesting. One of the reasons why that is an observation is that it allows us to understand what infinity is. Infinity means variable and variety of that which remains constant. Infinity exists because God's desire to diversify itself into manyness. It's still the oneness of God. So it becomes a curious thing. It becomes a daunting thing as well, because how does an individual get to a point in the life that he or she is living where they can make sense of things in a comprehensive way? Pretty interesting. So when we're looking at conspiracy theories specifically, conspiracy theories are simply information that's shared to see what an individual is going to believe about who they are according to what the theory is. If we're not involved with conspiracy theories, what would we call information that has nothing to do with conspiracy and it have everything to do with realness and truth? What would we call that? I don't have an answer to that right now, because I haven't thought of it until right now, which is the cool thing about, you know, living my life as I do as a human being on this planet. It becomes a curiosity. So one of the things that I find fascinating is that those individuals whose lives were adversely affected by a conspiracy theory, it's meant for their life to be that way because that is what they have a relationship to based upon what they feel, sense, think, and envision. And there's nothing inappropriate or wrong with that. The simple fact of the matter is that if you are not in the war zone, the war is irrelevant to your point of reference according to where you are, because if it's not where you stand, it doesn't exist. And this is something that people don't understand very well. If it's not where you are, it doesn't exist. If it's not where you are, it doesn't exist. If it's not where you are as who you are, it does not exist. I personally work at becoming God conscious and universally knowing within the context of love and light. That's what I work on. I work on manifesting with a conscious mind, and I'm halfway decent in manifesting what it is that I want within the context of my experience. The only thing that I don't do right now is I don't do it instantly. I'm working on getting to a point to where I can simply think it and it'll materialize in my palm of my hand or somewhere on the planet. And there will come a time on this planet in which I will do that. I was told in 1987 that I have the ability of control. And when I ask, what do you mean by control? They say the awareness of the ability to manifest with a conscious mind without relying on that to be thought of as God to manifest for me. And I have been working on that diligently for the last year and a half. Because you're told things and then you forget. And you go about your business doing silliness more so than anything else. One of the things that's lacking within the context of people is they're not very disciplined about things. And so the development doesn't take place within the context of the discipline that the individual has. And negative or positive service polarity requires a certain discipline to allow it to develop. One of the interesting things is what we choose to hold on to from our perspective. If I hold to the perspective of fear, it means that I'm continually going to think of something, everything, everyone as a threat to who and what I am. It's kind of like the idea of the war on terrorism, where everyone is considered a potential terrorist, which is pretty interesting within the context of the process. It's pretty interesting. If I come from the perspective of love, love is reflected in love, according to Mayor Begaretti, and the simple fact of the matter is that if I am truly holding to joy, love, light, and consciousness, I cannot be adversely affected by anything other than what they are, as my humanity. That's one of the little tidbits. Only fear is affected by fear. Love is only affected by love. Light is only affected by light. Joy is only affected by joy. The interesting thing is that I feel joy at times, I feel pain at times, I feel love at times, and I feel fear at times. I've actually gotten to a point in my development in which I see joy and pain, love and fear, light and dark, consciousness and unconsciousness side by side. And one of the interesting things is that I know if I hold to fear, I'm going to have the ending of something, because fear exists because it allows for the ending of something so that love can create and manifest something else within the context of that which no longer exists as who and what it is. And it's a very straightforward process. Because all we're doing within the context of our life is we're having a life to where we're involved with the people, places, and things that we do and the hopes that we become more consciously aware. Ultimately, the idea is serving others or serving the self. That's what negative sources work at, people polarizing like a Darth Vader, and then there are those that polarize within the context of their life and times like a Jesus, like a Yoda. So there are people who develop like Yoda, and there are people that develop like Darth Vader. And there are individuals on the surface of this planet who are only interested in war, greed, and class distinction. And there are people on this planet that are only interested in stillness, peace, and harmony. There are those that work within the context of love and light. There are those that work within the context of fear and darkness. And conspiracy theories are specifically designed to keep people steeped in pain, fear, anger, hatred, violence, depression, suicide. And every death is a form of suicide. Because death is ultimately a choice the individual makes. Most make it before they incarnate. And then there's the opportunity to ascend, taking the body with them. The only reason why I have an awareness of this is because I was shown when I was 5 years old that I would ascend, taking my body with me when I go. And I was told in 1982 by my friend Marge, you will live longer than they think humanly possible, and you will take your body with you when you go. You're the only person that I have done a reading for that I haven't seen the death experience. And this is something that I was told in 1982. And so every day I work within the context of my life and times. One of the things that I ask, what does a piece of knowledge, a piece of information do to assist an individual in feeling good about who and what they are? Does death, disaster, destruction, according to the news, make an individual feel joyful, happy, wonderful? Does it allow a person to be an understanding, accepting, even-minded, wise individual or not? The emphasis on death, disaster, and destruction is the negative protocol because that's what it facilitates its engagement in death, disaster, and destruction under the premise of conquering, enslaving, and destroying. Within the context of positive service polarity, an individual is simply given the opportunity to do that which is antithetical to death, disease, sickness, death, disease, sickness, and so on. And the cool thing is that if an individual does the work that they really hope to accomplish, is that an individual only has the connected integration of who and what they are with all else. If you simply take the idea of presence, essence, realness, pattern, content, truth, I amness, allness, Godhood, presence, isness, realness, pattern, content, truth, I amness, allness, Godhood, you put it in the context of the seven chakras, presence, isness, business, realness, pattern, content, truth, I amness, allness are the seven chakras. And then presence and Godhood are precede it and follow it. One of the nice things within the composition and constitution of our life is to simply holding to how we choose to feel about our life in a way that's useful and meaningful. And oftentimes it's not easy to do because a lot of times a person doesn't resolve the ego. I work specifically on being authentic, humble, and transparent. Authentic, humble, and transparent according to that which is real, true, conducive, and ongoing. So I've done a lot of work on not having an ego that's the size of Mount Everest. Because more often than not, a person decides to get involved with someone or something, and the only thing that it does is reinforce the ego and its body glorification. And so what happens from the perspective of the ego is self-glorification and self-idolization from the perspective of the individual who doesn't know any better. It's the reason why the Fool is the 22nd card in the Egyptian Brotherhood of Light Tarot deck, because the Fool is the last aspect, because more often than not, an individual doesn't know if they are serving themselves or serving others, so it's constituted as the Fool. Every single Tarot deck that has the Fool as the zero card is a misrepresentation of what the Fool. One does not become the Fool. One goes out into life after one has learned a certain training as the Fool, because an individual doesn't know from the perspective of the teaching that they have learned whether or not they are serving themselves or serving others. And that's what makes one a fool, not that an individual starts out a fool. So there's a misguidance within the context of almost every single tarot deck that is in print has a misguidance if the Fool is a zero card rather than the 22nd card. Because after all the teaching is done, one goes out into the world, and are they serving themselves or serving others? And more often than not, it's a little of both, which cancels both out. So there might not be any real progress within the context of a life of others. If, say, they are a multimillionaire and they have a degree like a PhD or an MD or something like that, and then they're going out and they're requiring large sums of money, well, that's not a form of self-service. And so it becomes an interesting thing. And most people don't realize, according to Seth's materials, gifts of the Spirit are freely given by God to the individual and are meant to others. I coin a phrase, a spiritual prostitution, for anyone that charges money for a spiritual gift, where they're using intuition, psychic ability, channeling, and charging money for it. That puts them in the context of spiritual prostitution. I do not pull my punches. I simply say it as I know it. And if it offends everybody on the surface of the planet, so be it. I'm only interested in what's real, what's true, what's conducive ongoing within the context of human beingness. And that's it. And it's a daunting thing, because from my perspective, I'm up against science, religion, education, business, politics, law, and medicine. I'm up against everything that is contrary to what life is as a human organism, as it pertains to God, universe, divinity, deity, Yahweh, Yid, mom and dad. Mom gives us issues, dad gives us talents, and then there's conscious awareness to contribute. So I go about my business. And I've gotten to a point to where I simply am accepting and even-minded, and whatever is fine. Your life is you, as perfect as you are in this moment. And if an individual wants to understand perfection, simply look at something as it is and see the perfection of it as that moment. Look at the tree as perfect as it is right now. Look at the bird, the fish. Look at another human being as perfect as it is in this moment. Look at a given thing. The planet is perfect as it is in the moment. That does not mean that it's not going to change. It simply means that in and of itself, as it is right here, right now, it is perfect, it is complete, it is total, it is universal, and so on. The trick is, can we assist ourselves within the composition or constitution in our life, where our life works and the lives of others work, or is it every man after himself? And that's the question. Is my life conducive to all that is? Because to me, there's only the idea of God is, I am all that is. God is, I am all that is. And I do that meditation all the time. I always get a kick out of it when people say I am, but they leave out God and they leave out universe. God is, I am universal. God is, I am infinite. God is, I am all that is. That's the statement that I use all the time. Cool thing is that everybody gets to live their life exactly as they are, who they are, as they are, right here, right now. Nothing is inappropriate given one's bottle of the world. Nothing is inappropriate given one's measure of the world. And it goes from there. And I personally get a kick out of it when people insist it is a given way, given that infinity says it's any way at all, every way. I mean, think of all the possibilities that exist from the perspective of infinity right now, and this is the best that we have come up with worldwide on this planet, and we don't do a very good job. Because the simple fact is that every single human being that has left the body behind didn't get it about human beingness and ascension. Did not. And I include Paramahansa Yogananda. I include Sai Baba. I include if Jesus left his body behind. I include Buddha if he left his body behind. Zoroaster if he left his body behind. I include every single teacher that has opened up their mouth and said something. If they left their body behind, they didn't get it about individuality and the ability to ascend the body. I will ascend my body after living approximately 900 to 1,000 years. Because the original design, according to the Bible, education, and the raw material, lived to be 900 to 1,000 years. And I am going to do exactly the same thing because I am here to demonstrate human beingness according to its design. Anyway, this is Welcome to My Point of View. I am the host, Dougie Slapp, a.k.a. Douglas H. Malloy. And I do this show every week from this time. Usually it's only an hour. I decided tonight that I felt that I had something to say because to me this is a very important topic. My advice is feel something real, think something true, share it in ways kind and conducive. The measure of a person is that contribution he or she makes to his or her fellow man without expectation of what for self and the rest of the gain. That's my entire philosophy in two sentences. Anyway, the nice thing is there's what's real, there's what's true, there's what's conducive, there's what's ongoing, and there's going to come a point in time in which separated from the chaff, who's going, who's staying, who's going to repeat their density on another planet. Anyway, have a good evening and thank you all. Bye.